Thank the Lord for that wonderful singing. Do you remember a time when he touched you? Amen. I remember, just like that song said, shackled by a heavy burden. Neath a load of guilt. Amen. Oh my. Then the hand of Jesus touched me. You know, I can't remember first time that the Lord spoke to me. But I remember many times that he spoke to me. I remember how it felt. I remember what he said. And I don't know how old I was, the actual very first time, but I tell you, when the Lord showed up, I knew it was him. There wasn't a doubt in my mind. I used to question, you know, well, how will you know? How will you know if it's God? You know, because you got a conscience, and you know how sometimes you get thoughts on your mind, and is it like that? Or, you know, I didn't know. Is it like an audible voice, you know? Is it like that? And I'll tell you, he showed me what it was. He showed me what it was. When he speaks to you. And I didn't have any doubt. I knew that it was the Creator. And nobody could ever convince me any different that that was God that spoke to me. Time and time and time again. Drawing me to salvation. Trying to save me. If I just open my eyes and see how much Christ loved me, how much God loved me to send his son, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I ain't preaching. Brother Wells is preaching. Brother, come on ahead and preach to us, amen. Pray for Brother Wells tonight, amen. Give him your attention. Let's keep our minds upon the Lord, amen. Amen.
God bless you.
Saul of Tarsus. I don't know how old a man he was. When that voice came to him, he said, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me?" And the first thing that came out of his mouth was, "Who art thou, Lord?" He knew who the voice was. Amen. He knew exactly who his voice was. Well, I wish I had been able to bring y'all a revival meeting that would have brought a lot of souls to know the Lord. But that, a message that will help you. And by the way, you know, I don't care how old you get, you never get as mature as the Lord is. Never. Wow, we got fixed, didn't we? Amen. So anyway, you don't ever get as mature as the Lord is. And so you know, Sunday morning was evangelistic. It could be, and then the other message that I preached basically was designed to be a help to you that are already saved. Now, yeah, we're the type of people in this generation, we've heard so much preaching. Would y'all say amen?
Yeah.
I mean, we've heard so much preaching. And, you know, you wonder, how did our forefathers make it, you know, when they only heard preaching like twice a month? You know, maybe a circuit rider would come through twice a month and he'd preach. And how did they make it? Evidently, they made it better than we did because they stayed true to God, stayed right with God, and God blessed and God. I wonder why. I don't have the answer to that, but I'm just wondering. Why was it our forefathers heard less preaching but lived godlier than we do? I wonder what it is. I'll tell you what I think it is. I think that we hear so much preaching today, we pick and choose what we want to retain. Pick and choose it And then we just move on our life according to, you know, what our picking is. But every message you hear, I don't care if it's here, if it's in a camp meeting, I don't care where you are and you hear a message, you're there, and the God of heaven knew you'd be there. And the God of heaven knew the message is going to be preached. And he evidently knew that there was a part of that that you needed. And a lot of times, here's what I found us doing, and I put myself in there with everybody else, is we hear, but we don't go put into practice what we've heard. But see, when our forefathers, they'd hear preaching every other Sunday maybe, or maybe even sometime, maybe once a month. And that kept resonating in their spirit and soul, you know, for week on week. And evidently, God did something with them. Amen. Right. And I want you to go to 2 John tonight. And I've got another message that will help you. And so I want you to just go with me and stay with me. And this will be like a little study tonight. And then we'll give some application when we get down to the bottom of it. So are you there? 2 John, and let's go to chapter 2. Oh, well, I'm just checking on you, see if he's listening. Amen. All right, let's 2 John, verse number 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace, from God the Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father. And now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment unto thee, but that which we had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk after his commandments. This is the commandment, that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers are entered in the world, who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. For he that biddeth him Godspeed is partaker of his evil deeds. Having many things to write unto you, I would not write with paper and ink. But I trust to come unto you and speak face to face, that our joy may be full. The children of thy elect sister greet thee. Amen. Now let me pray with you, and then I want to try to show you a couple of things, then give you an application. Let's pray. Lord, I want to ask you tonight that you'd help us, Father, to say the very things that you won't say. I know, Lord, that we'd probably like maybe an easier message, but I want to ask you, Lord, to please help us to have a heart to receive thy word as it is to our own hearts. Pray, Father, you'd move now tonight. Pray for this pastor, this church, his people. Ask you, dear God, to please do a wonderful work here. And I want to thank you, Lord, for their kindness to us while we've been here. And, Lord, I ask you to pour out your abundant blessings on them now. And we're going to honor you, Father, for all that you do. In Christ's name, amen. Now, y'all pardon me if I cough a little bit tonight, but anyway, I'll do my best not to. Now, before I ever tell you what I want to give you, before whatever I share with you and just give the application, there's some things in this little chapter that I think is important to say to you before I ever get there. So I want to remind you this now, and I'll just bring you through a couple of things here to get the application. So number one, I want us to make note in this chapter the credibility of what is written here. All right, so now, is this scripture? Answer me now. Is this scripture? All right, so here's what Peter said. He said, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but it came by holy men of God as they spake by the Holy Ghost. So what you have in this little chapter here is a chapter written by a man called John, but it is written and produced by the Holy Spirit of God. And so every single word in this, I'm sorry, in this passage is the Word of God. Now, I want you to look carefully in verse number 1, and let's try to build a little bit of the credibility of this man that's writing. Now, we know ultimately the Holy Spirit of God is the one that's doing the writing. But John identifies himself as the elder. See that? Those first two words he said, the elder. Well, what is an elder? Well, in Bible language, here's what it is. An elder is one appointed to the spiritual oversight of the church. So John said, I'm the elder. So evidently who he's writing to when he calls you the elect lady, it must be a church. It must not be an individual lady he's writing to, but it's got to be a church. Because he's the elder, and the elder is appointed to have the oversight over a local assembly. Now, we call them pastors, but they're still elders according to this. Now, so here, number one, John is called an elder. But let me remind you of this. He's also said to be the disciple that loved Jesus. Is he not the disciple that laid his head on Jesus' bosom? Yes, he is. And he's known as the disciple of love. But now I want to say this to you. John was not only known as the disciple of love, but he's known as the sons of thunder. Hey, you'd never think that this little John, I don't know how little he was, but we'll just say that. I don't know how big he was or little he was, but he seemed to have a tender heart. I mean, at the Lord's Supper, he's got his head laid on Jesus' bosom. But you would never think he would say to Jesus one day, Lord, let's call fire down from heaven and take care of that crowd. Well, they called him the Sons of Thunder. See, he was not only loving and tender, but he was a man that had the fire of God burning in his heart. And when he needed to be heavy, he could be heavy. So he was not just the Sons of Thunder, but he's also called the disciple that testifies of these things. And he's called an apostle by the Lord. And that simply means this, that as an apostle, he is a sent one by the Lord. So now here's what I want you to get. What this chapter is saying is not given to us by some jackleg that's running around and they were just spitting off in the mouth. This man has got the hand of God on him and writing and telling us who he is. So we better understand that whatever he says here, it has credibility to it. So now, I want to say this to you. So John's writing to this church, and he evidently has had some part in the receiving the gospel. But here is what his letter's for. Y'all hear me now. This short letter is designed to help these dear people to do everything he's going to ask them to do. He's going to ask them to do some things in this chapter, and you got to understand who is saying it. He's got credibility to him, and it ought to be paid attention to with what he's saying. So he's trying to get them ready for something he's going to say. Now, y'all listen to me now. All right, so I want to label this a minute now. So there's credibility, But in this passage here, he's going to deal with capability. So here's what he's going to do. In these few short verses, he's going to say some things that let the people he's writing to know that God has instilled in them some capabilities to do what he's going to ask them to do. I'll grab that now. All right, so let's see if I can... Let's see if you see that. All right, go back to verse number 2 in the chapter. So what would be the capability? All right, now watch what he says in verse number 2. He said, for the truth's sake. Now let's think about that a moment. So when John said, for the truth's sake, what he's really saying? Is he saying, for the Bible's sake or for Jesus' sake? Is not Jesus the way, the truth, and the life? So he's saying, for Jesus' sake. Now, he said, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us. Now, did you hear what he said? He just said to these people he's going to write to and explain them the capability they've got. He said, the truth dwells in you. Y'all hear me now. Did the Bible not say something like this? Didn't Jesus say, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth? Did he say that? Did he? All right. So then let me say this. So if Jesus is the truth, and John said he dwells in us, then the one that has all power in heaven and earth lives in here. Amen. Y'all hearing that today? Don't forget where I'm going. He's trying to show them the capability God has put in them. He said, now, the truth dwells in you. And, of course, that means that he abides in there. He continues in there. And he remains in there. Are y'all with me now? So notice the next phrase he said. He said, for the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, he's in there, and he shall be with us forever. What does he mean there? Here's what he's saying. That truth, that capability that's inside you ain't going nowhere. Is that language all right? Now, if you're an English teacher, you'll pardon that. But he says this. He said, that truth that's in you, dwells in you, and that you ain't going to lose it. It's not going anywhere. Now, are y'all with me now? So if Jesus, who possesses all power in heaven and earth, lives inside me, where is he when I'm down and out? So where is he whenever things ain't going good? All right, so that's what he's saying. He is saying, no matter how you feel, no matter if you're up, no matter if you're down, he said the truth is in there, and he said he's not going anywhere. So what he basically said was the capability God has put in you will be in you forever. Now look here now, get it now. He's trying to emphasize the capability that God has put inside you and me. So now, watch this now. Now, if that's not enough, let's move on down to verse number 3. So he said, you got the truth in you, the truth dwelling in you. The truth is not going anywhere. It's going to be with you forever, even here and there. And then he said, now if that happens not to be enough, grace be with you. And so he is saying, not only is Christ in you, the truth dwelling in you, but he's added to you the grace of God. Well, what does that mean? That word grace is God's unmerited favor, but I want to add something else to it. Are y'all hearing me now? So that word grace means this. It is God's divine influence over you and I. Are y'all hearing me now? So does God have any divine influence over me? Yeah. See, if God don't have any, well, there ain't no possibility of God not having divine influence over you. I mean, either lost or saved. God has a divine influence over every one of us. Now, watch what he said. He said, now, I'm giving you grace. By the way, did not Paul say this in 2 Corinthians 12:9? He said, he went to God and he said, God, I got this thorn and said, I beseech you 3 times. And God said, Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee. Did he say that? Did he say that? Well, then here's the idea. No, God said to Paul, my grace is sufficient. So John said, you've got grace in you. Not only the truth dwell in you and the truth is with you, but the grace of God is with you. In other words, what he's saying now. Now, in just in case you get the feeling, well, I can't do this. God said, my grace is sufficient. I'm giving you all the grace you need to do whatever I ask you to do. All right, so watch on verse number 2. He said, now, grace be with you and mercy. Now, that word mercy, I think I made it mentioned before. It means a manifestation of pity to an offender. All right, now, look here. So let me apply this now. So John is fixing to tell this church something to do, and he's telling them, I want you to know the capability God has put in you. He's put the truth in you. It dwells in you. It's not going to go anywhere. And now God's added grace to you. But if you fail at what I ask you to do, God's got mercy for you. In other words, if you happen to flunk out on something I ask you to do, I've got the mercy of God for you to help you to get right with God, get back on track. Now watch on. And so he said this. He said, I've not only given you grace and mercy and peace and truth in you and truth that's going to stay with you, but drop down to verses number 8. I drop down to verse number 8. Then the first three words is all you need. He said, now, look to yourselves. As a matter of fact, he told them after that something he wanted done. But he said, look to yourselves. Now, here's what he's saying. He is saying, God does have some things he wants you to do. Now, the truth is in you. The truth's not going to leave you. God's given you grace. God's given you mercy. God's poured the peace of God on you. Now then, all that's in you, apply it. Did y'all hear that? He is saying, now apply it. Look to yourself. He didn't say, look to the Lord. He didn't say, go to prayer. Did he? What did he say? He said, look to yourself. In other words, here's the idea. The capability was already in them. Everything God wanted them to do, the capability to do it, was already in them. Are y'all hearing that now? Now, by the way, I don't want you to forget the application there. So if the capability was in these people to do whatever God was going to ask them to do, if you're saved, there is absolutely no difference between you and this crowd here. No matter what you're facing, no matter what you're going through, God has already put the capabilities in you to face whatever you're facing and to do whatever God tells you to do. Amen. Y'all all right now? Amen. All right, so now, let's look on now. So now, I want you to drop down to verse number 7. So now then, I call this a feasibility or a likelihood. So look what he said. Verse number 7, for many deceivers are in the world who confess not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So here's what John's saying. Now, the word I'm writing to you is inspired. The word I'm sending you is from God. You've got all this capability in you. God dwells in you. God's not going anywhere. I've given you grace. I've given you mercy. I've given peace. And look to yourself. Then he said, now you could be deceived here. He's saying, there's deceivers, many deceivers are in the world. He's saying, there is a likelihood of you being deceived as you walk. Y'all listen to me now. All right, so let me ask you this. You understand that John lived in the days, no telephones, no telegraphs, no smartphones, no social media, no television. But error and falsehood spread like fire. How much faster does it spread today? You said, Brother Wells, I'll never get caught up in error. Are y'all listening, Brother Wells? I've been this a long time, a long time. And I'm telling you, it is every, it's almost weekly, I'm getting word of somebody, either preacher or somebody in the church that I've been in, that have decided they're able to go a strange way. Are y'all hearing me now? Why? Because somebody approached them and seduced them with error, and away they went. Y'all hear me now? All right, so here's what he's saying. He is saying now, you've got to be aware that there is a likelihood that you're going to be seduced by error in your walk. Is that so?
Right.
Is that so? Yeah, that's so. I mean, all you got to do is turn, if you got a television, all you got to do is turn television on to some, what, TBN. I don't even know what's out there anymore. Is there a TBN still on the air? Y'all are afraid to say, ain't you? Well, I don't know. I'm telling you, I don't know. But with all this satellite stuff now, there's all kind of channels out there now that have got all kind of religious stuff on it. And you know what? Listen, there's fundamental people every day. They're listening to men that sound good. They sound good, but they're like a rotten apple. They got a worm in them, and the heart is eat up with the worm.
Right.
Amen.
Right.
So here's what he's telling me and you. He said, now, you've got the truth dwelling in you. He said, it's not going anywhere. You've got grace. You've got mercy. You've got peace now. And you look at yourself, but he said, now, I want to warn you. There's a possibility of no matter all these capabilities you got, you can still be seduced by error. You better remember that. So now then, as we move forward. Now then, look at verse number 8. Go to verse number 8 now. Or verse number 8. He said, look to yourselves that we lose not those things which you have wrought, but they will receive a full reward. Now, I want you to notice that plural pronoun here. Now, again, I don't know much about English, but I know we is a plural pronoun. Is that right? All right, so now, he's writing this church and he says, look yourselves that we. Now, what does that mean? Well, John's writing it. And he said, look yourselves that we, that is me and you now, church, lose not the things which we, that is me and you, church, lose the things which have wrought, but that we, me and you, church, receive a full reward. So here's what he's saying. All right, now, let me back up. Do you understand? Look here. Do you understand that this congregation and your congregation, Brother DeBerry, both your congregations here, do y'all understand that there is rewards coming for the labor you put in here? And by the way, it's not automatic. All right, do you understand that the pastor has a reward for being a pastor? Do you understand that you as a saint of God have a reward waiting on you? And some of that is determined by how you live your life.
Right.
Now look what he said in that verse. Look at it. He said, look yourself, in other words, exercise those capabilities that's in you. Are you listening to me now? Exercise those capabilities that's in you that you don't lose everything you work for. All right, help me out here, Mike. When did this building, not this building necessarily, but how long has it been since a church building per se has been on this property here? 1906, is that right?
Yeah.
All right, so are y'all listening to me now? Now, I'm just kind of fumbling here on what I generally might know. So was there some years in which this building was shut up? Are you hearing me now? Why, so when was it reopened? All right, 1906, you don't know when it closed down, do you? All right, let's say 1960. So the building was closed down in 1960. and reopen in 1978. That's 18 years. All right, so now look what that Bible said. Look yourselves that you lose not those things which you've wrought. When this building closed its doors in 1960, every ounce of labor that's put in this fellowship here, it disintegrated. When it's reopened in 1978, the work commenced again. Oh, y'all hear me now. Here's what God said. Look yourselves that we lose not those things which we've wrought. Here's what that could mean for your churches here. It means if you lollygag around and you don't do what I'm telling you to do, the pastor's going to lose his reward and you're going to lose yours as well. See, the rewards run together. And if you don't do what God says to do, then the rewards are going to disintegrate. All right, let's recap here. He says, I've got credibility now. I'm giving you the inspired word of God. Here's your capability. The truth dwells in you. The truth ain't going to leave. The grace of God's on you. The mercy of God's there should you stumble. And the peace of God is there. Look to yourself. Put that in action. Then he says a warning now. There's people out there who deceive you. And there's a possibility of losing your reward. See, if you take for granted your fellowship will be going on forever, you're not doing right. Because don't you know there's been a media church that Satan got in and Satan twisted around and warped around and they closed. Are y'all hear what I'm telling you? It'll not happen here. How do you know it won't happen here? How do you know it's not going to happen where you go to church? Are y'all hear me now? So there's a danger here. There is a possibility of losing everything you've worked for and labored for. Now, watch your Bible, and let me give you a couple more things, and we'll be done in about 3 hours. Praise God. So now, I want you... So now, here's what I want to do. Y'all following me in the Bible now. I hope you are. All right, so here's what I want you to see now. So there's credibility, there is a capability, there is a likelihood, a possibility, and now I want to share a couple of verses with you and show you the responsibility. If there is a capability that God gives me, now it's going to show me what that capability is for. Go to verse number 4. Are you looking at verse number 4 now? Put your eye on it now. He said, I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children doing what? In the truth. Walking in the truth. Yeah, that is my responsibility to walk in the truth. Did y'all hear that? You said, Brother Wells, I'm a Christian. I'm doing the best I can. Well, you might be, but I'd say in all likelihood, I bet you could do better. What do you think? Yeah. All right, so here's what he's saying. Your responsibility and mine is to walk in the truth. All right, go to verse number 5. He said, now I beseech thee, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment of thee, but that which we have in the beginning, that we love one another. Okay, so you've heard this, hadn't you? Come here now, you've heard this. I love them, but I don't like their ways. Come on now, y'all heard that, hadn't you? Have you ever done that? Yes. Right. But now, let me ask you. Did Jesus Christ say something like this? You've heard that have been said, thou shalt love thy enemy. Thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thy enemy. Y'all remember that? You don't remember that. He said, I send you love. He said, you've heard that been said, love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. That's what they heard said. That's what they taught. But Jesus said, but I send you Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them that hate you. And pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. All right, so what's he saying here? Here's what he's saying. Jesus just told us that what I want you to do is love men like I've loved men. Now, that's not easy to do. Come on now. What if somebody really hurts you bad? Is he going to be easy to love them? Are y'all with me? No, if somebody hurts me bad, it's not going to be easy to love me. I love them. I probably told this before, but we had a deacon when I first went to Calvary. Man, that guy, I mean, I don't know what was wrong with him. Must have been the West preacher. But he would sit there and he'd take that old church hymnal. He would flip the page. He'd go, I mean, the whole time I was preaching. And he would turn sideways. He didn't want to look at me. And while he was turned, he made sure that every page he turned, I heard every one of them. And made sure every one of them rattled. Well, I'm just telling you how it was. Is that true, Carol? That's true. And I got to where, if I could have got away with it, I'd have hit him in the head with a ball bat. But I knew as soon as I did it, I did not have to confess it to God. And you know, that was not a good thing, you know. So, but you're some say, all of us have people that offend us and hurt us. But what the Lord is saying now is I want you to love one, but I can't do it. Wait a minute now. Did he not say the truth dwells in us? Did he not say that it dwells in us forever? Did he not say, I've got grace for you? Did he not say, I've got mercy when you can't love them yet? Did he not say, I've got peace for you? So the capability of doing everything he's asked you to do already is in the heart of every child of God, every one of us. Y'all see all that? Part of it anyway. All right, so I'm moving on here now. All right, so notice verse number six. And he said, and this is love, that you walk after his commandments. All right, and then he ended up, he says, that you walk in. Now, go to verse number eight again. Go to verse number eight. Responsibility, walk in the truth, love one another. And he said, look to yourselves that you lose not those things which you have wrought. Are y'all hearing me now? All right, so here's what John said. I hope you'll just listen to me for one second here. John said, this is the inspired word. I'm reporting you the capability that God has already put in you. I'm reminding you there's a likelihood that you're going to be deceived somewhere and say you could lose your reward. But here is your responsibility. Look to yourselves. Now let me tell you what he said, Mike. Are you listening to me? He just said, now then, it's up to you. He just said, now then, it's up to you. You know what? I won't keep you much longer. But I believe the way the Lord's had me to preach this week, I don't believe there's anybody that's come to this meeting that God hadn't pointed something out in your heart and in your life that you needed to give attention to. And here's what you'll do. You'll say, dear God, help me do this. And you won't mean a thing you said. Because really what you want God to do is leave you alone and let you go on and live the way you've been living. Yes, and you know it's a yes. But here's what the Lord said. Now then, what I have dealt with you about, what I've talked to you about in these services this week, what I've challenged your heart about, I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to perform what I've spoken to you about. Now it's up to you. What are you going to do about it? Y'all listen to that. Now, I've not preached that message murmuring much. Now, I'm not being ugly now, so don't think I'm trying to hurt nobody. But every place I've preached it, I've had jokes made about it. Every place I've preached that message, folks have made jokes about it. You know why? Because they don't want to make the effort to stop it. It's easier to gossip. It's easier to talk about somebody that you don't like than it is to quit it and pray for them. Amen. So what's God talked to you about? I mean, what's the thing God singled out in your heart? And you said, well, I don't know if I can do that. Wait a minute. Are you born again? Then God made that clear that I have put these capabilities already in your heart and life. I dwell in there. I live in there. I'm not going anywhere. I've given you grace. I've given you truth. I've given you mercy. I've given you peace. And now, what are you going to do about it? Now, I'm not being ugly. But here's where we are. Listen, here's where we are. We'll come and sit and listen to preaching. And I don't know what we really want. Honestly, I don't know what we want these days. I mean, I don't know. I don't know if we want to come to church and we want to hear a message and make us shout and praise God and you know, tear the walls out. And I don't know what we want these days. But I know what we don't want. We don't want God to single out our weaknesses and ask us to strengthen them. We don't want that. Let's say, I do. Okay. But this much I know, and I'm about done, honestly. I want you to get it. God has laid this business of living for Christ in your lap. God is not going to live this Christian life for you. Do you understand that? You better get what I'm telling you. God is not going to live it for you. He's given you the capabilities inside you to do everything he said to do. I just can't be faithful. Yes, you can. Yes, you can be faithful. You say, Brother Wells, I can't have victory. Yes, you can. Brother Wells, I just stay defeated all the time. Well, I understand. I've been there. But I'm going to tell you why I've been there. I'm going to tell you why I was defeated in those days. And I'm not saying I won't be defeated again. But I'm going to tell you why I was. It's because I wanted God to make my feelings better. I want God to get even with those people that have hurt me. And so I get down and out. And so what I'm doing, I'm challenging God over the circumstances he's brought in my life. So here's what I've learned. Who is he that overcometh the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ. He said, we overcome the world by our faith. See, here's what God wants me to do. God has already put everything in me, every bit of strength, every bit of capability in me that I need to exercise my faith in the Son of God when things don't seem to be going the way I want them to go. Are you listening to me now? I'm going to tell you the truth now. I'm just trying to be honest and trying to help you. I'm going to tell you I've had some times. Well, I'm telling you, I thought God had done me so wrong. It was just awful for me to try to serve a God that did me so wrong. You know where I went? I went in depression, discouragement. Now, maybe y'all ain't ever been there, but I'm telling you, I've been there. I've been there. But here's what I found out. I found out God has already put faith in my heart. He's already got him in there in my heart. Now, what I need to do is exercise faith in him and trust him to do what's right. Are you all here, Brother Wilson? You don't have to be down and out, and you don't have to be defeated. God has put everything in you. And see, here's my problem, and it might be yours. When I get this place where I start getting down and out, I start in my mind challenging that verse that says, now we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to his purpose. And I start saying, how's this going to work out good for me?
Right.
And see, here's where you are. You want God to explain everything to you. You want God to give you an explanation for everything God does. But sooner or later, you're going to learn he ain't. And you say, and you'll hear this all the time. Somebody get preached and say, it ain't a sin to ask God why. Well, maybe it's not a sin to ask God why, but I can already tell you his answer. Are you listening? Here's what God says. Nothing. Do you know why? Because what God wants is me to trust him. And he has given you in your heart the ability to trust him. It's already in there. Are you getting what I'm saying? So let me finish with this. God's simply saying, church, I've done everything I can do for you. I gave my life for you on the cross. I shed my blood. I bore your sins in my own body. I was buried. I rose again. I ascended to the right hand of the majesty on high. And I've called you, convicted you, saved you by the grace of God, put my Holy Spirit in you. I've got my presence in you. I'm not going to go anywhere. I've given you grace. I've given you mercy. I've given you peace. Now, all I want you to do is exercise what I put in you. Y'all thinking? He basically said, it's up to you. What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do with these things that God? Let me give you a little illustration. And I brag, and I'm telling you the truth. I ain't young enough to brag anymore. You know what I'm saying? But I don't know, but one person in this world loves coffee more than I do. He's my son.
Hey.
And he loved, but anyway, I was praying one morning, and I went to get my coffee. And the Holy Spirit said, hold on, Larry. You know how, no, maybe you don't know how God talks, but I know the way he talks to me. Larry, I don't want you to drink this cup of coffee. Yes, sir, Lord. So I left that cup of coffee go. An hour or so later, I went back to get a cup of coffee, and the Lord said, I don't want you to get a cup of coffee now, Larry. And so, but here's what I did not know that caffeine was affecting me. It probably don't affect you, but I didn't understand how caffeine was affecting me. And so the Lord spoke to my heart about doing without the caffeine. But now here's the thing. I like it, and I love it, and I wanted it. But I'm going to tell you what I wanted more. I wanted his fellowship. When I went to prayer, I wanted his fellowship. I didn't want to have to go in my prayer closet and say, our Heavenly Father, please forgive me for drinking this cup of coffee. I didn't want to have to go in there and start confessing all my sins. And I mean, you know, just on and on and on and on. Here's what I wanted. I wanted to go in my prayer closet, workplace where I pray, and have God be pleased with what I did. And have God to open heaven up and the community of God be real between me and him. And I think it's probably been, and I'm not saying I won't drink a cup of coffee somewhere or another, but I am saying this. It's been months. And here's the whole thing. The whole thing is, he wants to lead you. And by the way, everything I'm telling you tonight, you've heard it in another way. I'll tell you, I've heard it. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and you're not your own, for you're bought with price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. It's the same truth. God's made your body the temple of the Holy Ghost, and he wants you to glorify him in your body and in your spirit. Y'all listen to me now. Let me just touch on one more thing. Can I have 5 minutes of your time? Now, you understand, when I get to the end of that 5 minutes, I'm going to ask for five more. So, have you ever acted in a way you ought not to act? That's four of us. I know the rest of y'all, you're just dying to show us your wings, right? Amen. No. There's a lot. We've done things, said things. And you know, sometimes it ain't even what you say. It's the attitude you project. That's right. So, boy, I'd like to live a Christian life so somebody would recognize me as a Christian. Well, I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. It's up to you. I'm not going to do it for you. I'm not going to stop you saying bad words. I'm not going to stop you from lying. I'm not going to stop you from lusting. Lord, please help me. No, I'm not going to stop you. I'm not even going to stop you from stealing. You know why I'm not going to stop you? Because I have already put my power in you to do it. My power is already in you. It's in your lap. It's in your lap. The testimony you have, wherever you work, wherever you go, it's built by you. It's not built by your pastor. It's built by you.
Amen.
Now then, he said, now look to yourself. It's up to you. What do you want to do with it? Do you really want to live this Christian life in a way that has power to it? You know, I've had a few little places in my Christian experience that was, I guess, in a way dramatic. Let me tell you this. We had this one girl named Buffy. And Buffy sent word to me. She's a lost girl. She's really lost bad. She sent word to me by her mother. She said, I want Brother Wells to pray for me. So I started praying and crying to God. And I don't mean playing. I started praying to God. After a few weeks, she sent word by her mother. Tell Prince Wells quit praying for me. Because since she started praying for me, I ain't had nothing but bad happen to me. Don't pray for me no more. The next revival we had come up, she got saved in it.
Amen.
Now, here's what I'm saying. I'm nothing. I don't want y'all to think I'm anything. Really, I don't want you to even think I'm nothing. But God let me pray for that lady in an effective way that made her miserable enough that she wanted to get saved. Would you not want God to do something with you that would help somebody?
Amen.
Yes, I know you would. But it's not up to God, it's up to you. He's already put everything in you you need. Everything. Now he said, I put it in your lap. What are you going to do with it? And those things that you know you need to deal with. See, I'm telling you, God ain't going to deal with them. God's not going to take them away from you. You smoke? Don't answer that question. You dip? Do you chew? Do you run with them or do? Whatever. Well, I mean, whatever it is. You waste your time on social media. I'll guarantee you, if you spend time on social media and you're a born-again child of God, and I'm talking about excessive time, I'm not telling you to do or not to do. I'm telling you, if you're spending your time on social media and you're born again, I'll guarantee you God, the Holy Spirit, has spoken to you somewhere or other saying, you're spending too much time on that. You could be spending some of that time with me. I know that ain't popular preaching, but in your heart, you know it's so. You know it's so. And God's not going to put an invisible barrier up in your social media. So every time he touches you, get shocked. That ain't going to happen. He's put the power reading. Now, let me give you a Bible verse.
Yeah.
Let me give this Bible verse. Y'all will like this Bible verse. Ephesians 3:20-21. Now, unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever ask or think. Amen. But the rest of it said, according to the power that worketh in us.
Amen.
What he said was, I put it in your lap. I'm not going to do it for you, but I put it in your lap. I've given you all the tools you need. Everything you need's in you. Faith is in you. The word's in you. The love of God's in you. The power of Christ is in you already. I've given you everything you need to walk with me. Will you do it? Will you do it? I'll tell you one thing. If you're a born again child of God, you want to do it. There's something in there that lets you know you want to do it. Yeah. And what I'm trying to tell you now, God showed us in this passage, this word of God is so inspired. I've given you the abilities. And there's a possibility of you losing it now. But I put the responsibility in your lap to make use of all those tools that I put in you. And you can do it. Y'all listen, Brother Wells? How many of y'all like, now you don't have to answer if you don't take, how many of y'all like to pray, and when you get done praying, you like to feel emotionally like, praise God, I've really gotten through. Y'all, well, I mean, do y'all like to feel that way? I want to ask you a question. Does God measure on me get my prayers getting through on how I feel? Come here now. He don't measure that on my high measure of emotions. He measured it on F-A-I-T-H, on faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He's put those things in your heart you need to walk with him, to live for him, make an impact on him, for him. Amen. What are you going to do? I don't want that Christianity. Well, that's okay. You don't have to have it. I don't live like that. That's fine. That's fine. You don't have to have it. Then why? Jesus died for whosoever will. And if you don't have a will for it, that's all right. You're not going to affect us from going to heaven. You're not going to affect us from the joy we're going to experience. But in the end, you're not going to enjoy the decision you made. I can promise you that. Amen. All right, I'm done. And so I hope the Lord's challenged you a little bit tonight.